Coming up, Why God Why? An important book about what we can learn in the face of upheaval, loss, and generally being angry about our tests in life. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you like to read a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. My special guest on this episode of 613 Books Podcast is Rabbi Gershon Schusterman, the author of an incredible book called Why God Why? How to Believe in Heaven When It Hurts Like Hell, detailing his incredible journey from grieving the sudden loss of his young wife, which left him a 38-year-old widower with 11 children to raise, to healing and integration. Back in his 20s and 30s, Rabbi Schusterman pretty much knew all the typical answers when comforting his own bereaved community members who would ask him, "Where is God? If God is loving, how could this happen?" His personal quest for answers to these timeless questions led him to a deeper exploration of Judaism's teachings about how to cope with and transcend tragedy, teachings that have provided comfort and understanding to millions of people throughout the generations. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast, Rabbi Gershon Schusterman.
Hi, happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, and I'd just love to begin at the beginning of your book. The very first sentence of the introduction is, quote, "This is a book for the brokenhearted. If you are going through a brutal, inexplicable loss, the death of a loved one, a shocking, unaccountable illness, a financial reversal, or any form of tragedy, I wrote this book for you," end quote. Certainly now more than ever, as the Jewish people collectively and individually are experiencing a war against the Jewish state and uprisings around the world against the Jewish people, what challenges and opportunities do you see in this moment of our national journey?
The challenge that we're experiencing is not to lose heart, not to get disheartened. And in order not to get disheartened, you have to have a basis for security. Our security now and always is that God is with us. Even when we feel abandoned, it's like a father hiding out and looking over our shoulders and watching how we are dealing with the challenge. But we are never abandoned by God, and that requires faith. It's not only when we are experiencing a tragedy that we need faith. We need it all the time, and sometimes we have to call on it. This is a time that we have to call out from within ourselves, from within our soul, a confidence that God is on our side. God is on the side of Eretz Yisrael. God is on the side of Am Yisrael, and He will come through for us. We would have to do everything that we got to do in the form of natural resources. We have, thank God, a strong army. And at this point, they are energized and enthused, and we have to enthuse ourselves with our relationship with God and with doing what we can to support the Holy Land and its people in so many ways that's actually happening right now. That's the challenge. The opportunity is to rise to the occasion that we're in now and to recognize that whenever there's a challenge, there's vulnerability, and many of our Jewish brethren who are, I won't use the term estranged, but somewhat distant from involvement in religious Jewish life, this is an opportunity to reach out to them, and they are reaching out on their own. Their vulnerability is drawing them to God and His commandments, because that's how we connect with God. And that's the opportunity. And it's like a fire, that a fire needs to be fed. If you don't feed the fire banks and could die out. There's been a renaissance for Judaism, right, and for the Holy Land, right, in 67. We have to seize this opportunity to make it more real for us and for our brothers and sisters. And then we will have not squandered this opportunity.
Right. You know, Rabbi Schusterman, what you're discussing here reminds me a lot about what I read in chapter 4 of your book. As you know, people of all faiths, including no faith, have a complicated, ever-changing relationship with God. I personally grew up in a family. We were congregants at a conservative temple in the Midwest, and I was sent to Hebrew school for many years in the afternoon after a day of public school. And in all those years that they taught us about the history of the state of Israel and how to speak and write Hebrew, we weren't educated about having a relationship with Hashem and how relevant He is in our daily lives. So you can imagine when I read chapter 4 of Why God, Why, the section you call Is Your Conception of God Stuck in a Time Warp, that really spoke to me. I'm wondering if you could read that excerpt for our listeners.
Sure. Is your conception of God stuck in a time warp? Often, those who are introduced to God as children in a Hebrew school or a Sunday school environment, but never had the opportunity to deepen their understanding of Him, find it hard to believe in and connect to Him. While the rest of their personality and education will have matured and grown more sophisticated, their image of God might remain in a time warp, frozen in the understanding of an 8-year-old. With no follow-up in religious education past the age of 12 or 13, this stunted view can result in their dismissing religious people's beliefs as simplistic, backward, or superstitious, and out of sync with today's real world. Nothing can be further from the truth. Monotheistic religion has a storied and hallowed past with a depth and character that matches and even surpasses other great philosophies. However, for many people, the huge emptiness where their religious education should have been in their formative years creates a seemingly unbridgeable chasm between disbelief and belief. For the uninitiated or for the minimally educated, religion can seem like an unreliable or even a useless crutch. They cannot know the depth, profundity, and meaning inherent in a religious life. For the religious, faith in God is a solid foundation on which one can build a purposeful life. That's my quote from the book. And I've seen this, and you've seen this. You've experienced it. But I've met so many adults who want to be considered Jewish and want to feel Jewish, but they consider all these observances hocus pocus and primitive and superstitious. Those who are fortunate to allow themselves to test it out, and many walk in the door and never go out, these are intelligent people who are willing to challenge everything and get answers. And when they do that, now we're all part of the same family in the same fold, but they feel at home in religion and have an ongoing relationship with God. And not to sermonize, faith is not static. Faith needs to be nurtured. If you don't nurture it, it fades. And if you nurture it and build it on it and feed it through involvement, then the faith is viable. And you live with your faith, not just say, I am a Jew and I'm happy to be a Jew.
Right. And of course, as we said, we established that your book is especially pertinent for people who are going through loss or illness or all the different kinds of upheavals that life can hand a person, Rahmana Litzlan. Your title for chapter 5 of Why God, Why is It Okay to Be Angry with God? And, you know, you really recognize the reader's intense pain of tragedy, that it is raw and primal. And you also write about finding meaning and hope in our situation, perhaps one day helping others who've suffered as we have. So I'm wondering, in working through our experience, you know, you summarize, I'll quote here, pain can refine us, but it should not define us, end quote. So would you say that your journey has been about integrating your loss and ultimately in the healing process, helping others find meaning in their experiences?
Well, each person is an individual and each person reacts differently to the same kinds of stress. Some people become depressed and reclusive, and some people tighten their belt and fight harder. I am an Orthodox rabbi. When my wife passed away at the age of 36, leaving me with 11 wonderful children, the youngest 16-month-old twins, I was director of a school with almost 400 children, 80 staff members, and 18 school buses. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that. That's a big part of a school. And I couldn't afford to let go. It was sink or swim time, and I couldn't afford to sink because too much was dependent on me. I comforted the people when I was sitting shiver for my wife rather than the people comforting me because I was the rabbi and the people were not that knowledgeable and they kept asking me why and how could this happen and what about the children and all that stuff. So I rolled up my sleeves and got stronger on the surface and neglected my own inner process. We talked about, is it okay to be angry at God? It's okay to be honest with yourself and recognize where you are at emotionally. You can talk it out with a therapist. You can talk it out with a rabbi. You can talk it out with a mentor. Don't neglect it. Don't poo-poo it. Don't gloss over it because you will pay a price. I paid a price. And I did find out I had a period of estrangement from God. I describe it in my book quite dramatically, but the bottom line is I didn't know that I was estranged from God. I just gave God the cold shoulder. Mm. It was hard for me to admit as a rabbi that I am angry at God. Mm-hmm. I didn't yell at him, but I didn't neglect my observance, but the warmth, the intimacy that I had when I davened on a daily basis was sort of banked. And it took a while until I was able to get back there. So that's why I specifically focus, is it okay to be angry at God? Well, if that's what you need to do, we find that some of our greatest leaders and prophets cried out to God, sometimes were angry at God, from Abraham, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Job. These were all considered prophets, and yet each one in their own way challenged God. And they challenged God not out of loss of faith, but they challenged God as an insider. God, you told us what justice is. You are the master of justice. Why is what I am experiencing now seem so unjust? Is it me or is it you? If it's you, change it. If it's me, help me find the guidance and strength to find my way back on track.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. You know, I also think that if somebody who sees your book, the book cover, it's a beautiful book cover, if they see it for the first time, they probably might think what many Jews think of where was God during the Holocaust, right? You know, in another interview, you said that, quote, evil was created by a good God to make the good meaningful. Hence, in God's plan, it has to be purposeful, end quote. So in chapter 8 of Why God, Why, it's titled The Holocaust. Plain and simple, The Holocaust. It isn't difficult to apply the lessons of that chapter to current events. And I so appreciated how you summarized, I'll quote here, even if we could understand God's reasons for creating suffering, we may not want to know because once we see the bigger picture and the ultimate reasons for pain and suffering, we would become desensitized to the suffering of others. What God wants instead is for us to channel our outrage and sympathy to do acts of goodness and kindness and to bring healing and justice wherever we can, end quote. And so I'm wondering, are you inspired by the dramatic uptick in the Jewish people's acts of kindness between neighbors and communities on a small and grand scale?
Absolutely. It's inspiring. I live in America, but I get all those videos from Eretz Yisrael, and it's so nice to see how everybody comes together. All the false faces and masks have been stripped away. All the divisions have been stripped away. And we see ourselves, at least now, and I hope in a lasting way, as Am Echad. Yisrael, Areven, Zeh Lo Zeh. Jews are responsible one for another. The word Areven means responsible, intertwined, and sweetened. We have all those qualities. It's built into us, but sometimes external things keep us divided. Those externalities are gone for now, be it forever.
Amen. I sure hope so. Rabbi Schusterman, in the time that we have remaining, I'd just love to know, what do you want your readers to gain from having read Why, God, Why?
In your introduction, you quoted, this is the book for the brokenhearted, and it is. But it is also a book, everyone with a heart and a mind and consciousness periodically has to ask, why did this bad thing happen to this wonderful person? And we're challenged by that. So you don't have to have a tragedy to question, why does God allow evil to exist? And our faith is stressed. So this book is not only for the people who have suffered actual tragedies, but those who are curious and within their hearts have that question. They don't necessarily articulate it. This book is a refresher course on what faith is, and that it is an integral and indelible part of every Jew by virtue of his Jewish neshama, his soul, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the soul of the fire of Hashem is the soul of man. We have a fire within us, and this is an opportunity to reconnect to that fire and to make the fire stronger. And that was the purpose of writing the book. And that's the purpose for people to read the book and try it on for size. And I mean, the book came out in October more than a year ago. And the reviews and the feedback that I have gotten from so many people, Jewish and Gentile, is so positive because it helped them reaffirm who their better angel is within themselves. And now they are more at peace. And for many, it's after serious tragedies that I knew about personally.
Right. But as you said, I can concur with that. It's not only for people that are in the midst of some sort of upheaval or have recently experienced tragedy. It really, really is for all people. And to call it a refresher course is very nice. There is something in this book for everybody. And I really appreciate that you took some time to speak with us on 613 Books Podcast, Rabbi Gershon Schusterman, about your book, Why, God, Why?
Thank you. Thank you again for having me.
Rabbi Gershon Schusterman is the author of Why, God, Why? How to Believe in Heaven When It Hurts Like Hell. For 18 years, he led the Hebrew Academy in Orange County, California, and he's the proud father of 11 children and many more grandchildren. For more information and to purchase your copy of Why, God, Why? Just head over to the show notes for this episode. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yisca Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.